The views and opinions expressed on this show are not intended to provide healthcare advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Views expressed here do not necessarily reflect those of Hay House Radio or its staff.
It's your turn now. Learn how to flourish with Dr. Christian Northrup.
And we are back with Dr. Getson. One of the things we discussed on our break is that someone who called, like our caller, probably if she goes for a thermography, it'll find that it's not a hot area. In other words, the area will be cold. Correct, Dr. Getson?
Correct, or at least symmetrical to the opposite side.
Symmetrical to the opposite side. On the other hand, you said you have seen people who have a negative mammogram but a red hot thermogram, and then you recommend biopsy, correct?
Yeah, what happens is that people actually feel the lump. Statistically, 70% of all breast cancers are found on clinical examination anyhow. And they feel
right.
The lump, and they go and they have a mammogram, and the mammogram is normal, and they go have an ultrasound. The ultrasound's normal, and people are being told there is nothing there. Well, there's something there because you can feel it, and the thermogram is quite hot. And what at that point in time, I tell them that the index of suspicion that there's something actively going on in the breast is quite high, and sort of encourage them. It's obviously the individual's decision. We encourage them to look into biopsies in that particular instance. Conversely, in the picture that you painted, if the mammogram is not abnormal and the ultrasound is not abnormal and the thermogram is symmetrical or cool, as you described it, I think the percentage of likelihood that it really is going to be a growing entity is very, very low. And it's just another piece of information to help the patient make an informed decision.
Right, right. Let's talk to Martha in Santa Monica. You've got a story about a mistaken case of breast cancer in your mother. That'd be interesting to hear.
Thank you for everything. You're the goddess of breasts, of sex, of everything. I just want to thank you for your work. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
A year ago, my mother had an indentation in her right breast, and she went to see immediately to a surgeon who I'm sitting with her. And she's doing an ultrasound saying, oh, this is really huge. Oh, my goodness, it's all over the breast. She's saying this. She's verbalizing this. And my mother.
Wow.
I know. She did. My mother just understood the body language. She doesn't speak English. And she said, oh, it's so huge, it's probably spread all over the body. And, of course, I'm feeling like I'm going to drop to the floor. She's 72 years old. 2 years before that, she had just had carotid surgery. So she had stents in her carotid, stents in her heart arteries. So the next day, she goes, and she had to wait 4 days. So the following night, her blood pressure was at 250 with all the medications. Anyway, she almost had a heart attack and died from the fear. And when she went for a second opinion, they said, wait a second, we don't mean to give you any hope. But, you know, there's fluid there. There's something in there. It ended up being some gland was full of pus from years ago. She had the same thing when she did not nurse, and it had to be drained, and that was it. In half an hour, they cleared it, and she's been fine. Anyway, she almost died from the fear, from a heart attack, from being told she had this horrible terminal thing.
You know, I don't know when when the profession is going to wake up, but when I taught medical students, I would say the cloak of the shaman is on your shoulders. It looks like a white coat with a stethoscope. Oh. But everything you say has tremendous power. And so you must choose your words carefully. I've even, when I did see patients with terminal cancer, what we called terminal, I would say to them, I want you to know there are documented cases of spontaneous remission from every disease known to humanity. So there is always hope. That
yes.
statement alone prolonged the life of many, many people.
And so
thank you for that, Martha. That's exactly what happened. So that just means, and I've said this many, many, many times, have a whole chapter about it, in fact, in Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, called Getting the Most Out of Your Healthcare. When someone is not a healer, when a nurse practitioner, a physician, an acupuncturist is not a healer, and you can feel that, your body knows that, get out of there. Walk away. You
yes.
don't need to stay around someone who is not a healer.
Thank you. And thank you for mother-daughter wisdom. I read it with my mother and with my daughter, so I'm in the middle. And I just love all your books. But right now, that's the one I'm focusing on, and it just touches all of our hearts. My 13-year-old, my 73-year-old mom, and myself, 51, we're all, you just cover us all. And Dr. Northrup, how about, I keep hoping tweens need a little something from your blessing, because I have a 13-year-old, and I'm a little, I mean, mother-daughter wisdom's helping me guide her, but I'm hoping that you do something more for that age group. I don't know. Maybe
well, I just finished a children's book for the little girls. That will come out in January, and you'll hear more about that. But I will take that under advisement. Thank you, Martha.
We love okay. you, Dr. Northrup.
Thanks. Let's go to Judith in Tampa. You have a question about 3D imaging. And, of course, Dr. Getson is an expert on breast imaging, particularly thermography. So this is a good question for him.
Yeah, they're doing actually free, and I've got two other questions that are likely very quick. And but needless to say, they're doing free 3D mammographies in my area. So they're still, I presume, the standard digital screening, but they've got some new 3D equipment. So it's a promotion. Is there any difference or benefit to that?
Let me answer you by telling you the 3D mammogram is first and foremost still a mammogram.
right.
one of the problems, I mean, you can call it what you want, but it's still a mammogram. The difference
and it's a good marketing, though. Hospitals are always doing something to market, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
One of the problems with mammography, among the many that exist, is that in a woman with dense breasts, especially in that group between 30 and 50, there's an even further reduction in the accuracy of a mammogram. Mammograms are 20 to 25% inaccurate anyhow, and in dense breast women, another 10% is added on. So the concept of 3D is to give you some additional views to look further into the breast and view it from a different angle, but you still have the radiation, and you still have the compression of a mammogram. And it's so new that I don't believe there's any statistics to tell you whether it's any more accurate than anything else, but there's additional images being taken, so you not only are getting the benefits, quote-unquote, of mammography, but you're getting more pictures. So you're getting more compression, more radiation, and yes, you're getting a different view, but you're still having a mammogram.
Right, and then you're having actually higher risk then. So I was just looking at it in terms of risk to benefit. I didn't know since if there was much more accuracy, then perhaps it would outweigh the benefit of the additional radiation. So,
well,
no, you answered it.
Yeah, and from my perspective, I've yet to find the benefit of a mammogram, and that's just one person's opinion.
Well, and I've heard Dr. Northrup prior, so I've been searching for thermography in my area. Is there any association or is there a way to find a best qualified local group, and are they ever covered by insurance with my other, if you have time?
I can answer both of your questions. I have a website called TDING, T as in Tom, D as in Dog, I as in Ice, New Jersey, for New Jersey, where I am, and the parts that weren't washed away by the hurricane, TDING.com, and there's a contact point. And if you will send me an email, I will get you someone in your area who is certified by the National Association.
Okay.
So that's the first part. The second part is this. If you had asked me that question a year ago, I would have told you that about 15% of insurers are paying for that. That number's up to close to 40% right now. Because as women continue to drive healthcare, as women continue to demand more, the insurance industry is very slowly waking up and understanding that they're seeing more and more thermographers, more and more women going for this test. And while most of us work on a cash basis and we don't participate with insurers, about 40% of our individuals are getting reimbursed a portion of the study by submitting the receipt in a health claim form to various insurers.
Do you know by chance if Medicare pays?
That's the one that I can tell you at this point in time that is not.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. That's helpful. And by the way, for everyone listening, the tail always wags the dog in women's health care. You know, when women wanted to leave the hospital early, it was women who led that particular thing. Of course, you know, then they started to kick everyone out early, even when they wanted to stay. But still, It is the pressure from women themselves that changes healthcare, because women are responsible for approximately 85% of all healthcare decisions made in their families. We are far more powerful than we've been led to believe. Also, baby boom women are the largest and richest demographic in the world, and have the power to change everything once we stop waiting for permission from some astute institution. Your heart is the astute institution you should be listening to. Okay, Mona in Brooklyn, you want to discuss your thermography. And, of course, you're in Brooklyn, so you could toot on down to New Jersey to see Dr. Philip Getson if you've got something, you know, that's not quite as satisfying as you'd like it. But anyway, let's hear from you.
Hi, Dr. Northrup. Thanks for taking my call.
I had
a thermography done back in March or April, and I found it very, very informative. The place where I had it done, they followed up with me to discuss the results, and I think I was on the phone with someone for close to an hour, and we discussed ways to decrease inflammation. One of my breasts was slightly different than the other, and they just wanted me to do some skin brushing and even prop up, you know, my hip while sitting on one side to keep the lymphatic system moving. So it was very informative, and I thank you for the initial show that you did on that, because that's what inspired me to go and get it. I do have a question for you. I discussed it with my general practitioner who practices functional medicine. He told me that he had a couple of patients that did have thermography done but ended up having breast cancer. So he suggested I have a sonogram, which I'm fine with, but I really don't want to revert to having mammograms again. And I just wanted to have you and Dr. Getson respond to that.
Well, I'll tell you this. Of the four diagnostic tests available for breast disease, a sonogram is the least accurate and most accurate in instances where there is an appreciable mass, where there's actually something that you can feel or see. It's also very safe. It's just sound waves. There's really no radiation. There's no compression, and it's a very safe diagnostic test. We've talked about mammography. MRIs have a minimal degree of risk in that they inject a substance called gadolinium into the vein, and there are some reported side effects, but they are very few and far between, and, of course, there is no radiation with an MRI either. No diagnostic test is 100% accurate. And so the possibility of someone having a breast cancer with a normal thermogram or any other test always exists. And so that's why you couple it with clinical breast self-examination, an examination by a healthcare practitioner, thermography, and at some point in time, other diagnostic testing if the thermogram suggests an abnormality. But in my particular practice and in over 10,000 patients, I'm really only aware of two people that we've had normal thermograms and ultimately wound up having breast cancer that I'm aware of, and that's a pretty good statistic.
Okay.
Right. I think that your doctor's fear of that is a little bit overstated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to know, my gynecologist, I'm getting a lot of pushback from, and how do you deal with that? You know, if you want to maintain a relationship with a doctor, but, you know, you're getting a lot of pushback.
I'm going to tell you how you do that. Okay. You say, look, I really respect you, and I love your care. But on this particular thing, I want to let's agree to disagree. And if you would, please give me a piece of paper so that we can put right here in my medical chart that I am of sound mind and I am responsible for my own decisions here, that you have explained to me all the reasons why you want me to do the mammogram, and I appreciate that. I know it is the gold standard right now, but I really don't want to do that. But I also don't want to hold you responsible for my decision. So why don't I write that right in the chart in such a way that you will feel comfortable? Because here is the here's the culture of medicine, and it's this. The doctor's job is to prevent you from dying ever. And if you die or if you get cancer and he didn't pick it up early or she didn't pick it up early, it is their fault, not yours.
Right.
Every one of us docs, not everyone, but most of us, have had at least one lawsuit. They are devastating to those of us who have gone into a profession in order to heal. And frankly, the way medicine is today, I can't understand why anyone would be in it who isn't wanting to heal. Because the money is no longer what it used to be, and it's a very tough profession to be in. Maybe plastic surgery would be fun these days, but that's about it.
And lucrative.
So
exactly.
Lucrative, right. So therefore, if you go in with an open heart and you understand the dilemma for the doctor, because medicine is it's a club. It is a, if you get sued, you need other doctors to stand by you. And if you've done something outside of the pale of the profession, you're going to go down.
Right.
Yeah. So they need to know you're taking full responsibility for your decision. And if that doesn't do it, then you really do need to change doctors. If they're so dogmatic that they can't have a relationship with you where you truly can discuss what's in your heart, then you need another person.
Right. Thank you for that. And I just want to let you know one last thing. My thermography was $475, and to my surprise, my insurance covered every single penny of it. So that's a good sign, and I'm not saying that, you know, everyone's going to have that same experience, but I was very surprised. I called in advance. They did tell me that they were going to cover it, but I was surprised that they covered it to the full extent. So,
I love it. That is a sign from the universe.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thanks so much.
Okay, here.
Thank you. Great. I'd like to talk with Monica in Ontario, Canada, who wants to learn about precautions she can take to avoid cancer. That's a great topic.
Hello.
Hi. So, Monica, does anyone in your family have cancer?
Not that I know of, and I come from an Eastern European family where your health was not discussed. Women's health was probably after the last thing you would ever bring up. I remember I was about 7 years old, and I was a very vocal little girl, and I asked in front of everybody in the family, my grandmother's sister, if she had a cesarean section or a regular birth. And after that, I was beaten by my grandmother because I asked something so inappropriate.
Wow.
Yes.
Now that'll leave an imprint. You know, and by the way, many, many, many of us have those imprints or legacies handed down to us that we don't talk about it. When I was a teenager, I once asked my boyfriend what was going on with his mother, and he could not talk about the fact that she had had a hysterectomy. It was almost like if you talked about a hysterectomy, you were having sex in public. So I completely understand that. But let's talk about precautions to avoid cancer. The first one is, I think, take a look at, understand that screening for cancer is not preventing cancer. Health screening is not prevention, and I really want people to know that, unless it is something like thermography, where you are so far upstream that you are able to diagnose a hot spot or cellular inflammation early, and then get on antioxidant vitamins, follow a low glycemic diet that does not spike your blood sugar. Learn how to deal with stress. I mean, I was out in Sedona, Arizona, as this storm started to brew on the East Coast, and I knew nothing about it, and I flew here in the usual way. They didn't have internet or television where I was. And when I began to look at the imagery that was beamed into, and the language that the storm is, you know, just the language of it, you would have thought that the entire eastern seaboard was going to drop into a wall of water 100 feet high. And yes, there were some people who were hit and people who are suffering, but it was not the Armageddon that they said it was going to be. So first thing you want to do, be very careful about everything you let into your consciousness. And then when something comes up, understand that you have the ability to attract exactly the right people to help you. Dr. Getson and I are not saying don't ever have a biopsy, don't ever work with standard Western medicine. But when it comes to your breasts, getting a regular thermography. Now, Dr. Getson, I want you to tell us about a case, for instance, where a woman comes in and she's got a mammogram that's abnormally, has too much heat. And tell us about what someone would do to decrease the score on the thermography and have their tissue go back to normal. Just talk about some cases, perhaps.
Well, one of the most fascinating patients that came in had an asymmetric thermogram. And we sat and talked for a bit about predominantly diet, because that old saying, you are what you eat, certainly comes into play. And yeah, her diet was a mess. So she really spent a great deal of time changing the diet, and she eliminated red meat. She eliminated white sugar and white flour. She eliminated caffeine. She went to a low inflammatory diet, because you and I agree that all disease has a root in inflammation.
Right.
And so she did all of these things, making diet and lifestyle changes. She adopted an attitude where she was going to fix this. She was empowering herself to feel better and be better. And she came back 3 or 4 months later, and the thermogram was perfectly normal. I mean, it was just symmetrical. It was beautiful. It was the poster child for normal. A year later, she came back, and her thermogram was beautifully normal. And a year later, she came back, and it was a mess. And so we have phone conferences, and I talked to her, and I said, what happened? You know, and kind of sheepishly, she said, well, I was feeling so good. You know, I went back to eating the way I used to eat, and, you know, I went back to the junk foods and the fast foods and all the other kind of stuff. And so 3 months later, she came back, and the thermogram was perfectly normal, and she'd gone back on it, you know, forever, according to her, because she just simply made changes in her diet, her lifestyle, her attitude, and it made all the difference in the thermogram.
There it is. And I just heard that Chris Carr is coming on as a host on Hay House Radio. Chris Carr still has tumors, very, very rare tumors throughout her entire body. She is the author of Crazy Sexy Life, Crazy Sexy Diet. And Chris Carr is the poster child for an absolutely gorgeous woman who had to come to this low inflammation diet and lifestyle or die. They were looking at a multiple organ transplant because nobody knew what to do with her cancer. And I've laughed with her and said, you know, it's a good thing that your cancer was so rare that they didn't have any treatment or you would be dead by now. Because the treatments are, you know, pretty intense. We have only 55 seconds left. I want you all to know Dr. Getson's website. It's www.tdinj.com, and he will be able to tell you how to find a thermographer in your area. There's also lots more information on that website. Consider thermography, all of you people out there, as either an adjunct or a substitute for your mammogram. And it is Breast Health Month ending today. Have a fabulous Halloween, and thank you, Dr. Getson, for your enlightening show with me today. Okay,